Matthew chapter number 13, Jesus introduces a type of teaching in Matthew chapter 13 that we're pretty familiar with, but says in verse number 3 of Matthew chapter number 13, you'll see this, it says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables." And so he introduces usage of a parable. When I was growing up, I was taught a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and but it's a story that the Lord would use to teach. And so he's going to give in this chapter several different parables, teach us some important lessons, and actually going to look at most of them real quick this morning. But the first one he does, he starts there in verse number 3, and let's read that one real quick, and then we'll pray, and then we'll look at these this morning. But Matthew 13, verse 3, it says, "He spake these things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray. God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look at your word this morning, and I just thank you for the good Sunday school hour and for every lesson that was brought, and thank you for every teacher that prayed and sought the Lord and gave what you gave to them. And I do pray now that you just bless our time here, and Lord, open your word to us and help us to be able to, Lord, see exactly what the Holy Spirit have us to see this morning. Speak to all of our hearts today, and in your name I pray, amen. In this passage, he starts out with this parable of the sower. And he's going to explain this parable to the disciples. He'll go into it and explain exactly. Glance down there, verse number 18. He says, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." And so he explains to the disciples what this parable's about. Now, time's sake, I'll share it real quick. But the first parable about the sower is about conversion, about people getting saved. And he talks about the sower goes, that's at that time Christ, and then us as disciples. We are to go and we're to sow the seed. The seed is the Word of God. The field is the world. And as we sow the seed, the seed is going to fall on different types of soils. The soils represent different hearts. There's some that would fall, the Bible says, by the wayside. And by the way, I pointed this out in our evangelism courses that the sower went out, he did his job by sowing the seed everywhere. We cannot really control the heart of someone who is to receive it. Our job is just to get the seed out. And so the sower goes out, and the first he finds the wayside, and the wayside is those where it's just not finding hardly any heart there, and it doesn't take long as it's there in the wayside that the Bible says in verse number 19, explaining it, "Then cometh that wicked one and catcheth the way, that which was sown in the heart." It says there in verse number 4, the fowls come. The fowls represent the enemy, the devil, and it comes, and the seed has nowhere to take into the heart. And then some seed falls on stony places where there is some soil, but there's not a lot of room for the plant to get deep. And because of that, there's really nothing there. And then some seed falls amongst the thorns where it actually is planted, but because there's so many thorns and thistles, it literally chokes out the plant. And it grows, but it never produces any fruit whatsoever. And the thorns are a picture of the world and all the things that are in the world. And someone gets saved, but they're never under good sound teaching, and they never start growing in the Lord. There's never going to be a fruit. And if we allow the world in, It's never going to be and reproduce itself and allow the fruit that God wants to do. But he says there's some that falls into good soil. That's the heart that's open, a heart that is receptive, and it takes in the Word of God. In this room today, I pray that everyone has good soil, a good heart, that you want the Word of God, and you want it to grow, and you want, you know, the Holy Spirit to teach us something today. If you're not saved today, listen real close, all right? I believe most in this auditorium would profess the Lord Jesus Christ, but if you're not saved today, all right, please take heed to the gospel message. The gospel message is simply this, that Jesus Christ loves every one of us, despite the fact that every one of us are sinners. Because of our sin, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and because of our sin, the wages of our sin is death. We deserve that, but Jesus died for our sins. And that's why Christ came. God loved the world so much, he sent his only Son, and Jesus Christ died for our sins upon the cross. He was the only one that could, and when he died on the cross, he paid for all of our sins, the sins of the whole world. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you will put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by simply saying, yes, I am the sinner, but I believe that Christ died for me, you today can leave knowing you're going to heaven. So it's pretty simple. It's simplicity in Christ. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, and God wants you to be saved. And this first parable talks about the fact that some people, they hear that, they're like, meh, and they just brush it off, and they're kind of like the wayside. Some people, they're interested. They got so much other stuff and entanglements in this world, they don't have time to maybe get back to it later, and they're at a stony place, and it never sets up, never enters into the heart. There's some, unfortunately, that maybe get saved, praise the Lord for that, but the thorns of life are just choking out any opportunity to grow in the Lord. But I pray today that we'll have good ground, and if anyone here today is lost, that you'll be saved today. First parable was about conversion. And then the Bible says in verse number 24, and by you'll see this, just glance at it with me real quick, verse 24 it says, another parable. Then in verse number 31, it says, another parable. Then in verse number 33, another parable. So what are these other parables? He's building on this thought, and understand this, that Jesus said this to Nicodemus in John chapter number 3, that in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. You must be saved. You must have a time in your life and you trust in Christ. That's what the first parable about. Our job is to plant the seed. Our job is to scatter the seed. Our job is to give it out as much as we can. Pray that there'll be fruit for those who receive Christ. But in verse number 24, another parable. This parable is about the tares. Let's read it real quick. It says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. So again, he goes back. Now, the first parable was about how to enter into this kingdom. You must be born again. But now another parable is talking about the kingdom. This is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in the field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This other parable he brings down, he talks about the one goes and he plants the wheat in the kingdom of heaven. It's a picture of the kingdom of heaven. He explains this parable to the disciples starting in verse number 36. He says, and then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels. So he explains this quickly to the disciples. But the second parable about the parable of the tares, first one was about the sower, and it was about conversion. About the tares is about confrontation. Confrontation. The man who is a picture of the Son of Man, he sows the good seed. And the wheat that grows, they're a picture of the children of God. You're saved in here? Say amen. Amen. That's us. The wheat. All right? That's what it's talking about. That's what the Lord said. But the enemy, and the enemy, the Lord explained, is the devil. The enemy comes, and while the Bible says the servants were sleeping, the enemy comes in and he plants. As soon as this good man had planted all the good seed, the enemy comes in and he plants these tares. They're a picture, the Bible says, of the children of disobedience, lost people. The enemy's attacking the good man's field. And by the time it's noticed, they both have started growing. They look a lot alike, the wheat and the tares, as they're growing together. But it becomes obvious as it begins to grow that people begin to look and say, that's not wheat. Didn't you sow good seed? And the good man said, of course, that's all I did. But he recognized someone, an enemy, has come in trying to destroy. And he has sowed these tares. They said, should we go in and just rip them all up? And the good man said, no. Let it go to harvest. At harvest time, we'll collect it all, but if you try to tear up just the tares now, you're probably going to cause more hurt than any help. Wait till the harvest, and we gather it all. We'll then separate it, and the wheat will be used, and the tares will be burnt, destroyed. The kingdom of heaven here, again, he talks about conversion, how to enter the kingdom of heaven, but then confrontation. You and I that are saved today, we have to understand this. We have an enemy. The enemy is the devil. Jesus said it, the harvest is the end of the world. And the devil's going to do his absolute best to try and stop the Lord's work. And one way that the devil's going to do this is the teaching of Matthew 13, one way the devil's going to do this is by confrontation, battles. He's going to literally bring in lost people and try to intermingle them within the kingdom of God, people that are saved. This is known as, we've been studying this in our Bible class at school, Revelation chapter number 2 calls it the doctrine of Balaam. You all remember the story of Balaam and the talking donkey, and Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, and Balaam said, I can't go, God told me not to. And so Balak the king said, I'll fill your whole house up with silver and gold. And he goes, well, let me ask God again. And then God didn't want him to go, but Balaam was determined. And God said, all right, you can go, but you can only say what I tell you to say. So as he's going, he's riding his donkey. And all of a sudden, he doesn't see, only the donkey sees. There's this angel there that three times it causes the donkey to go astray. And Balaam gets so mad, he hops off the donkey, starts beating the donkey with his staff. And the donkey turns around. The Bible says the Lord opened his mouth. And all of a sudden the donkey said, why are you smiting me? And Balaam immediately answers, because you crushed my foot. You won't go where I told you to. And now you just, you know, ran me against the wall. And he goes, that's why I'm beating you. I don't understand why you can just answer the donkey, right? I would have been like, I'm out of here, right? But he did, right? And he just talks, and it's his donkey. And finally, the Bible says his eyes are open, and he sees this angel. And the angel said, had the donkey not gone astray, and he had a sword in his hand, he said, I would have killed you. And Balaam realizes, I'm dealing with God here. And I believe that was, actually, a theophany. I believe that was Christ in appearance, because that angel of the Lord said, your way is perverse before me. But he tells him to go on. He said, but you can only say what I say. Of course, when he goes, Balak says, all right, curse them people. And Balaam looks over all the people and says, God bless you all. and may you all just be abundant and be one strong nation and drive out all the Canaanites. And Balak's like, what are you doing? And he tries three other times, and every time Balaam's like, I can only bless them. And Balak's like, well, that was a waste of money. And Balaam, I don't think one to lose his money. So Balaam says, I do have an option for you. This is called the doctrine of Balaam. He said, take your sons and your daughters and let them marry their sons and daughters. And bring in some of your worship and intermingle with their worship. And I know that God, he will not bless them. That's what he did. Just what Balaam said would happen, happened. And Israel would go through great issues and deaths and judgments because of this intermingling. In the New Testament, it's referred to several times, but it's called the doctrine of Balaam. That's what this parable's about. That the devil's going to do his absolute best because, praise the Lord, you're saved and you're a member of an independent New Testament church. The Bible says that's the Lord's church, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against the Lord's church. Amen? Praise the Lord for promised victory. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen? We're on the winning side. Amen? But if you can get to intermingle, bring in the world. Start accepting a lot of what the world has to say. Bring in the world's philosophies. Try to intermingle some of this stuff. God can't bless that. And it will bring destruction. In the book of Titus, I read this in our nursing home, but in Titus chapter number 1, I'm going to read it to you real quick. Verse number 15 says, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. It says in verse 16, in Paul's warning Titus about this, he says, these people are there amongst you. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Paul tells Titus, there's people there amongst you that they're professing they know God, but they don't. They're unbelievers. They'll say what they need to say. They'll even do some good things, but he uses this word that their good works are reprobate. The word reprobate is a pretty harsh word. Talked about it in nursing home several times this week, but first time you read of it, it's in the prophets in the Old Testament. It says, the prophet says, your silver is reprobate. Interesting. But the word simply means fake, counterfeit, false. And Paul's telling Titus, there's people there, they profess they know God, but they're reprobate. Their works deny them, and the good works they are doing, they're fake. The devil's going to do his best. Understand this. It's all about the kingdom of heaven here, but let's apply it here because I'm not preaching to all believers. I'm preaching to Gazette Baptist Temple this morning. The devil would love to destroy our church, and one thing will try to do is confrontation. He'll bring in false teachers. He'll bring in those who will want to bring in false doctrine, those who will want to intermingle the world, and you're seeing it going on everywhere. Praise God for the stand our church continues to take, and I'm preaching and I'm thanking those who are standing, and I'm asking our young people to consider this, because we live in a world today where literally there are churches who are endorsing sins, endorsing churches, quote unquote, I'm putting air quotes around churches there, but they're endorsing abortion. They're having sodomite pastors, letting pastors get married 5 different times and commit adultery and continue just going on and being the pastor. Rock music is accepted and glorified. Drinking is encouraged. The only thing that these tares take a stand against are people trying to be holy. That's where they draw the line in the sand. And I'm not preaching this to pat us on the back. I'm preaching this that we better beware, because that's everywhere out there. We're very spoiled. You know, I don't know, spoils, maybe not the word. Maybe we're pleasantly ignorant, right? We don't realize what is commonplace today under the term Christianity. And you'll see it more and more as we see the day approaching. And the Lord, He warns us about this and says, be careful, there's these tares here, and they're going to spring up, and they're going to say, oh yeah, we know God, but they're fake. They have one motive: to destroy the Lord's churches. He said, oh, you're paranoid. I'm just reading the scriptures. That's what the Lord said was going to happen. That's what we're warned about here. We're warned about this. So the parable of the sower is about conversion. Then the parable of the tares, which is about confrontation. And then another parable he speaks in verse number 31. This is the parable of the mustard seed. And it's all about confusion. In verse number 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field. Of course, the grain of a mustard seed is used other times in scriptures. Talks about, you know, how, you know, little of faith it takes to move mountains, right? Because it's not about the size of your faith, it's about who your faith is in. And so, but that's a different lesson. But still, you get the idea of a tiny little seed, right? But it says it's a kingdom of heaven's likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. This parable is the parable of the mustard seed, and the Lord again is teaching about the kingdom of heaven, and he gives another warning of what we've got to beware of, and this is about confusion. So where do you get confusion? Well, it starts with the grain of a mustard seed. It starts small. Mustard seeds, they grow into an herb. At best, a small bush. That's what mustard seeds do. This mustard seed grew into what? A tree. It becomes huge. This is very unordinary. It becomes such a large tree that the birds, they come in and they build a nest in it. They feel at home in this tree. Everybody follow me? And the Lord's using this to warn the disciples to also watch for this. That whenever you start to see, I think you see a first great example of this, unfortunately, in with Rome and Catholicism, as the empire and religion all joined in one, and the Holy Roman Empire grew. And if you don't know history, I'll give you a quick lesson. But the Roman Empire and the Catholic Church merged into one, and all became just one huge religious empire. Constantine converted because he saw a vision in the sky of a cross, and by this shall you conquer. And really, he was losing his kingdom, and he rallied everybody around religion, and they all got behind him, and he found a tool to use, right? But he rallied this around, and everything became religious. And you would too if the, you know, governor of your land said, are you Catholic? No. Oh, pull out a sword. Actually, I am. And that's the way conversions happened, right? And then they began to abuse the people and financially and in every other way, and it became huge, and it became corrupt, it became evil, became, and we'll see it one more time in the end days during the tribulation time, when the one world leader will rise up and intermingle religion, and it'll be the great prophet, an evil prophet, and the Antichrist, and they will rule this world. But he's warning here about the kingdom of heaven. And the warning here is that eventually, if we're not careful, we can lose track of what we are. And pretty soon, remember the fowls at the beginning in the first parable? They're not good. The fowls are coming in to pluck the seed. But in this parable, they have made a home in the tree. They've made a home and they've settled in. What is this tree? Is it a mustard bush? Oh. What kind of tree is it? I don't know. It's become something it shouldn't have been. Right? But whatever it's become, the enemy feels comfortable in it. The tree doesn't even know what it is. And open your eyes today. We live in this world today where the church has done everything it can do to make the lost feel comfortable, but the lost don't even know what they need to be anymore. They don't even know they need to be saved because we keep patting all the sin on the back and telling them everything's okay. We've allowed so much corruption in our churches. We've come to a place today, and you expect it because you see it coming, and the Bible prophesies it will happen, but in the last days where Christians no longer hide their sin. They're proud of it. They don't care. They don't care. I remember one time my dad was walking through Woody's, the grocery store in Dayton, Ohio. He saw this lady walking out, a church member, and she had a cigarette in her hand. My dad went over. He said, "Let's go talk to her." And we went over there, started talking, and the lady put the cigarette behind her back, and she had a conversation with my dad, thinking she was hiding it, I guess. Later that, her smoke's coming out the back of her neck. I didn't know what it was, right? But my dad, being the ornery man that he is, he extended the conversation until he knew she'd have to go, whew, right? And he waited for that, and she did. Then he smiled and said, "See you later." And he told me what he was doing. I thought it was hilarious. I was a kid, right? But the point is this. You knew she's wrong. Hiding it. I mean, I'm not that old, but I remember walking through stores and people being like, not in the right place or not doing the right thing or not acting, dressing the way they should, and they would avoid you, man, like the plague. Now we just blast it out there for the whole world to see and say, "I don't care." That's where we live. I mean, when I was a teenager, there's a lot of young people that listen to wrong music in our youth group. Hit it. I knew it was wrong. Now we're posting what we just listened to. Drinking still wrong. Cheating still wrong. Adultery still wrong. Fornication still wrong. Amen. Sin still sin. But we've come to a point now in our Christianity that we've convinced ourselves, "Well, that's okay. And I don't care." And the typical church today, you can't tell the difference between a lost world and the child of God. The birds found a home. And the birds probably feel pretty good about this. Because they're in church. You know, I don't know if you follow much. There's this campaign going on about they make these commercials and they put them on the Super Bowl and stuff about Jesus. He gets us. Well, they have good intentions. Well, there's some things you got to understand. Number one, Jesus was not just a man. That's what they want to picture him. He gets you. He's a person just like you. No, he's God. And they want to say he was a great example. Amen. But he was our Savior. Nobody wants to talk about that. But here's the main message of this program that you better get a hold of, child of God. They're presenting this message that his followers today, they don't understand him. That's what's being presented. A bunch of meanies telling these people that their sin is wrong. You won't accept sin. We love everybody. But we got to continue preaching what the Word of God says. That's not hatred. That's love. If you do it in a wrong spirit, you should speak the truth in love. But this whole thing is about they want to embrace what they like about Jesus, but leave out what they don't like about Jesus. And that's exactly what this parable is about. Just got to make it big, where everyone feels welcome, and everybody can just feel at home, and people don't even know the difference between right and wrong today. And you say, I think you're paranoid. Look at churches today. That's what's happened. What happened? Our churches are filled today all over, right? And I'm using very loosely churches, but they're literally, getting up and having rock concerts and everybody's having a great time. They're literally serving beers as they walk out of a Sunday morning service. That don't happen. Yeah, it does. I did tell you about the people and their names. Now, praise the Lord. Say, I didn't know any of that, right? Praise the Lord for our ignorance. I'm serious. Amen. But we better get our head out of the sand because it's philosophies entering in here. Because the philosophy doesn't start with, let's serve beers to everybody as you're walking out. The philosophy is this. I know you've all, this church has always preached against, not drinking and not, going to movie houses and not wearing immodest clothing. I mean, seriously, come on, it's 2024. That's where it starts. You say, well, is it a sin to this, a sin to this, a sin to this? You don't understand. Start breaking down gates. The enemy gets it. It's about this, right? You see, Travis Burke, you've never gone. And again, I don't think it's a sin to watch a movie. I do not think it's a sin to watch a movie, right? I've never sat in a movie house. And I'm not looking at someone saying my mom's a wicked person if she ever sat in one, right? I am not saying that, right? Everybody with me, right? But I'm saying this. But you understand this. You start letting these things go, and she starts going, and she starts going, and she starts going, and these kids are going to start going, and then Malachi is going to start going. But the as the walls and the standards start to fall, what they allow in front of them just gets worse.
Right.
It doesn't stop.
Right.
It doesn't stop. You say, come on, you gotta let it in, man. It's not going to be a big deal. There's a reason. There's a reason why this is going on everywhere. There's a reason why some in the 1970s independent Baptist churches in the Cincinnati area are not even Baptist anymore. There's a reason. There's a reason why the schools in the early, late 80s, 90s standards and holding some things high, there's a reason they don't anymore. There's a reason. It's progression. No, it is decaying. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just saying there's a that's what the Lord's talking about. that when it all becomes about just becoming huge, powerful, wealthy, impressive, when the birds start filling at home, you've lost who you are. When the birds start building a nest, we've left something. And everybody sits in their chairs confused. What is right? What is holy? What is love? What is hate? The first parable was about sower, because about getting saved. That's how we enter the kingdom. In the parable of the tares, which is about confrontation. In the parable of the mustard seed, which is about confusion. And then there's one more in verse number 33. Verse number 33, it says another parable. Spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the leaven which a woman took, hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. This last parable we look at today is the parable of the leaven, which is about corruption. First one, the sower, was about conversion. Tares was about confrontation. Mustard seeds about confusion. Now the parable of the leaven's about corruption. The difference now with this parable, again about the kingdom of heaven, all the same. But in the first two, there's an attack from an enemy. The birds began to feel comfortable building their home, and things began to become confusing what's right and wrong. With this parable, the Lord's teaching this lesson, now the issues start from the inside. In this parable, this woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Leaven in the Bible is a picture of sin. Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, a man that was in the church at Corinth who was living in immorality, fornication, adultery, and all of it going on. And Paul made this statement. He said, don't you understand, church, that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? That if you allow this sin to continue within, eventually it will consume the entire church. In this parable, it's the same thing. The leaven's being introduced. And this is a process that will destroy from the inward and decay the Lord's churches. When sin is accepted, when sin is glorified, when sin is encouraged, it will begin to decay all that is good. And it leads to things why you have churches having a pride day, churches patting on the back and clapping, fornication, pastors who are literally getting up and have no scripture for their message, but they got it through a movie or a song or something of the world. We're Christians. We're taught, and they know from the Word of God things. They don't care. They're just going to keep on posting. Look at me. Look at my sin. Dads, husbands, you need to be right. And then you need to grow a backbone. Lead your family. Because if you don't, the leaven will keep growing. And the leaven will keep consuming. We'll all get by. Me and her will get by. Right? Don't be rough. There'll be some really rough patches. But you don't understand the brokenness that you're going to watch as your children go on. They always take it further. Everybody has a better plan until their family is broken. Everybody's got a better plan until their kids are laying in the hospital. Everybody's got a better plan. God says, please stop. You have to sow seed. If you're not saved, receive the seed. Get saved. Those that are saved, we want God to do something great. But we got to watch out because there's going to be confrontation. And there's going to be an attempt to bring a lot of confusion. Going to be some corruption that may come, try to come from within. Don't let it happen. How do we oppose it? Stay close to the Lord. Stay close to His Word. Hey, we can't be perfect. No, I wish I could. I can't. Neither can you. Our church has always got, yeah. Matter of fact, the more you sow that seed, the devil and the enemy and the fowls are gonna try. God didn't give us these parables to tell us the doom that's coming. He gave us these parables what to watch out for so we can maintain being vibrant and strong and bearing fruit. Let's be on guard. Let's pray, Father.